Turn to James chapter 1 as we continue in the book of James. Life is full of trials. And that's titled this is God's provision for trials. In other words, He provides us with tools to handle the trials that we encounter in life. It's not a topic that we like to talk about. And we've been doing it. We talked about the purpose of trials and wisdom for our trials last week. Verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, and it's talking about trials. You're going through something hard, and you don't understand it. And the Bible says, if you ask for wisdom, He will give it. He wrote this letter, James wrote this letter specifically to people that he knew were currently experiencing trials of many kinds. He says, consider it great joy whenever you experience various trials. And it doesn't mean you're happy about it. It doesn't mean you're joyful about the trial. He says, consider it joy. Make a decision that God is doing something in my life. And He's making me more like Jesus in some way, shape, or form. And the example that we use is Jesus on the cross. In Hebrews it tells us, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despised the shame. And so Jesus did not enjoy Himself on the cross. But He had joy because He was looking at what the cross was going to accomplish. And what that accomplished was for you and I to have the opportunity to be in heaven one day and not be punished for our sin. And so that was the joy that was set before Him. And in our trials, although our trials are not as universal as Jesus's was, our trials are big to us, aren't they? And it's hard. And we have to consider it joy. We have to decide that we're going to look at the bigger picture and we're going to see what God is trying to do through these things that are in our life. And we saw last week that we need God's wisdom to help us understand what's going on. And then we defined wisdom. And this week, James moves forward and talks about the provision that God has made for us. He doesn't just say, consider it joy, now go have a good time. You're on your own. God doesn't do that. He actually gives us tools, gives us access to Himself. He provides for us His provision. And so we're going to look at that. The passage today is actually overlapping last week. Last week was all about verse 5. This week it's 5 through 8. Now if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man, or a doubting man, or a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that's the passage today. And in the first spot, we will start with wisdom. And last week we saw that we were encouraged to ask God for the wisdom we often lack. So many times when the trials hit us, we ask what? Why? That's... why? And it's been my experience that rather than ask why, maybe we should ask what. What are you trying to show me, Lord? What are you doing in my life, Lord? What am I to get from this, Lord? That kind of a question. But hey, why is a legitimate question? I'm not saying don't ask it, but I would say don't stop there. And if you don't know why, if you honestly really have no clue, then you need to ask Him for wisdom to understand what is going on in my life. What is going on? And so we see that, and we saw last week that biblical wisdom is coupled, if you're really seeking biblical wisdom to get that answer to prayer, that prayer for wisdom, it's coupled with humility and the fear of the Lord. You got to be humble. You can't think you know it all. You can't think, you know, it's your life, yeah, and you're going through it, yeah. And sometimes we think we know why. And in our pride, we're like, well, I know what God's doing here. Do you? Do you really? You need to ask Him, because He may have something else in mind. And maybe you're thinking, why does this continue, this adversity? Why does it continue? Because you've already accomplished it, Lord. I learned the lesson. Well, maybe you learned a lesson, but not the lesson that God was wanting to teach you. Just a thought. You might consider that. So humility in saying, I don't know everything. And you know, most of us, if not all of us, would say, well, we know we don't know everything. But a lot of times we live our lives like we do. We just kind of make decisions and whatever. So humility and the fear of the Lord. Humility and the fear of the Lord. That's how you kind of get a hold of God. You fear God. In other words, you respect Him. You understand Him. He's awesome and He knows more than you. That's the humility. But then when He brings something, are you bucking against what God is doing in your life, or are you working with Him? That's the question. And we talked about that last week. This passage is in the context of trials, and He uses our trials, the Lord does. He doesn't cause all of our trials. Now, He can cause something to come up in your life, but a lot of times it's just life that happens, and He will use that trial to get your attention, or use that trial to do something in your life. Sometimes Satan attacks and we have trials because of that. And sometimes we have trials just because we make a dumb move. Or we make a bad move. Or a move without thinking. And it causes us some situation now. You know, you ever have that happen where why did I do that? And now you're reaping what you sowed, in a sense. But you know what? The Lord wants to work through that in your life. And so He's using this to build us up in areas of perseverance and spiritual maturity, that you don't give up. And when we ask for the wisdom, it's so nice, because He says He gives it without criticizing. He doesn't give you the "I told you so." Didn't you read my word? Told you not to do that. You did it. Okay, tough for you. No, He doesn't do that. He helps you see the truth that you need to see in order to grow. And He doesn't put us down. He is a willing Heavenly Father. And that's all I'm going to talk about wisdom, because I talked about it at length last week. So if you missed that, go online. It's there. But God does provide wisdom for us to handle the adversity, the trials, the temptations in our life. Verse 5, the second part of this, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. It says in verse 5, now if you lack wisdom, he should ask God. Asking God is prayer. Going before God and asking Him things, that is prayer. Communicating with God. In other words, pray. Now, most of us, if not all of us, at one time or another in our life, we probably asked God for something and it didn't happen. Am I right? You ever pray for something and it's like, didn't happen. You felt that maybe you were in the trial and maybe you did ask for wisdom and you feel like, I didn't get it. This passage does deal with the issue of unanswered prayer. I've always said that really no prayer goes unanswered. There's three answers. Okay? There's yes, there's no, and there's wait. Okay? I would say, though, there's probably a fourth answer. I think sometimes God goes, you got to be kidding, right? I mean, we ask something that's so ridiculous, he's like, really? But yes, we have a prayer, and the answer is yes. And I think of Moses, you know, standing before Pharaoh, and Moses says, you know what? Lord's going to turn this water into blood. And bam! Turned into blood, didn't it? Even the water that was in their cups, they poured it out and it was blood in the cups. It wasn't just the Nile, it was water everywhere. And then we had all those plagues. We had the Red Sea. You know, Moses prays to God. God says, have the people march forward. And when they did, poof, Red Sea opened. That's prayer, and that's like right now. And that's how we like it, right? That's how we want it. Oh, I got this issue going on in my life. God, I want you to poof, do something. And sometimes he does. Praise God for that. But sometimes the answer is no. I know a yes prayer that probably, hopefully, every one of us has experienced. Did you ask God to save you? Did you ever pray to God and say, I'm a sinner? And I need you, Lord, because I know I'm doomed without you. Would you save me? I believe in Jesus. And you know what he said immediately, right? Yes, I will answer that prayer. And he did. And to confirm that he did, he gives you the Holy Spirit. And you know you're different than you used to be. That's a yes prayer. No prayer. Paul got this thorn in the flesh. Prayed three times. God said, it ain't happening, Paul. He didn't use ain't, but God doesn't use slang. I don't know if that's in the Bible or not. But anyway, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And if I answered that prayer, Paul, you would be so prideful that I couldn't use you. And so it's better for me to leave you with this situation. And we don't really know exactly what it was. But he said it is needful for you to have this. And we don't want to hear that answer, do we? We do not want to hear from God, it is never gonna change. So what are you gonna do? Mope around about it the rest of your life? Some people do. And what a waste of a life. What if Paul had just said, okay, I give up. I got this thing, whatever, the thorn in the flesh. A lot of people think it was his eyes. But whatever it was big enough that he prayed several times about it. And then God just flat said, it ain't happening. And so then, okay, Paul, what are you going to do now? Well, what did Paul do? He went out and did the will of God. And God used him mightily. I mean, he wrote tons of the New Testament, started churches all over the world, and is affecting lives every day through the Word of God. How does God want to use your trial, your situation, your lack, whatever it might be, to affect somebody in your life for Him? Because see, we get so self-focused, we forget other people are involved. Other things are involved in what God is doing in our lives. We kind of forget that. Many of us here, we have a life issue that is not going to go away. For whatever it may be. It could be health, could be finances, could be, you know, I don't know, whatever. It may not go away, folks. If God is wanting to use that to do some marvelous thing through you. And we got to understand that. That is a possibility. And we don't like to hear those words. But it is biblical. So we have the yes, the no. We have the wait. And when we wait, I think of David. You ever think about David? He's a young man. He's a kid, basically. And Samuel comes and anoints him and says, you are going to be the next king of Israel. And then he spends the next 10 years or so running from Saul, who's trying to kill him. And this is a guy that, hey, Samuel, the great prophet, the great judge, says, I'm going to be king. And he had to run and wait and hide and fight for his life. Had to go to this Philistine place and stay there and act crazy and insane? And he waited. But you know what? God kept his promise, didn't he? And David became king. So sometimes we got to wait, because David had to go through some things before he was fit to be king. And you know what? Sometimes we got to go through some things before we are fit to be whatever it is that God is trying to do in our lives. For now, I know something all of us are waiting for. At least, I hope. You ever say that prayer? Even now, Lord, come. Come back now, right? But we're having to wait, aren't we? Because the time's not right. And God still has things to accomplish in our lives and in the lives of those that are around us before he comes. But that's our easy way out, right? Especially when we're faced with things in our life, we're like, please, man, if he would come right now, it'd be so cool because I wouldn't have to deal with this. But I don't know. I've said that prayer several times myself. I'm still here, so I had to obviously have dealt with whatever it was. And so are you. But we do have to wait. But really, what does the Bible have to say about your prayer being answered? I mean, what does it have to say? Well, first of all, we must ask according to God's will. That makes sense, right? I mean, look at the verse. This is the confidence, this is confidence that we have before God. If we ask anything according to his will, and I got that highlighted on there, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him, 1 John 5. Okay? But it just makes common sense, right? If it's not his will, it's not going to happen. I especially experienced this at home with my dad. And if you ask him for something that was against his will, you weren't getting it. I mean, it was just that simple. It was like, no, and don't ask me again. And you know, the point is, it's according to God's will. And when we ask for things that he doesn't want us to have, we get frustrated instead of accepting his answer. And then a lot of times we're going through something and we're like, why wouldn't God want to help me in this? And that's where you just got to believe that God knows what's best for you. Faith. Submitting to the sovereignty of God. Christians everywhere will say, oh, God's sovereign. Oh, yeah, he's sovereign. Really? Is he sovereign in your position, in your situation, in your adversity? Well, I'd like him to do something, but what if it's his sovereignty that's saying you're going to go through that? Are you going to buck it? Or are you going to go along with it and see what he has for you? So the first thing is we got to ask according to his will. Second thing is we got to ask without doubt in faith. So once we say, oh, it's God's will, are you doubting? Do you have? I mean, that's just two words, doubt in faith. We must ask without doubt. Maybe I should have had a slash in there, in faith. Because if you have faith, then you don't have doubt. If you have doubt, your faith is weak. I mean, so we must ask without doubt in faith. Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, so see, Jesus said it, you will not only do what is done to this fig tree, but if you tell this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will be done. And if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now see, a lot of people will grab that verse right there, that's Matthew 21 and 22, they'll grab verse 22, well, if I just believe, whatever I ask for is going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, they'll tell you you didn't believe enough. But see, you got to remember the first scripture. It's got to be according to his will. Yeah, if I ask Wrightwood Mountain, whatever the name of that mountain is right there, to get up and fly into the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, God could do that, but not if it's not His will to do that. And so, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you just didn't believe enough. Well, I think Paul had pretty good faith. And God didn't heal him. So I guess Paul didn't believe enough. No, it wasn't God's will. And we got to balance those two things in our life. We, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk in faith, not sight. We walk in faith. You know, you are not always going to see what God is doing. That's when faith kicks in. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We don't always see what God is doing. Think of Job. You know, he's the great poster child for adversity, right? I mean, man, do not, you know, anytime you're depressed about where you're at, just read Job, right? I mean, he had it way worse. And here's the thing. We don't really know that he ever knew what all that was about. We don't know that he knew, you know, God was dealing with Satan and they were having this little thing going on in heaven and Job was kind of the object of all that. We don't know that if he even knew that. And I'm sure he didn't know. Job. I'm sure Job didn't know all the comfort his story has provided for people for thousands of years. And so a lot of times we're like, why? You know, what are you doing? We may never see what he is doing. It may be for the benefit of somebody we will never know about. Sovereignty of God. We walk in faith, not sight. Doubt a lot of things. You know, it's our nature to do so, but don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. Third, we must ask in Jesus' name. And this is another misused scripture. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So that's why we do it, right? When we pray, blah, 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 blah. In Jesus' name, amen. We tag that on there. That's the magic word. That's open sesame. You know, God's got this door that's shut to us. And if we say in Jesus' name, bam, the door opens, right? We tag that on there. That's the magic word. You know, yeah, you thought it was please. You know, we teach our kids, right? Magic words, please. No, it's in Jesus' name, you know. What if your child came up to you, I want a bicycle in Jesus' name. You know, give me a bicycle, you know. What are you going to answer that, Mom and Dad? Aren't you glad your kids aren't in here? In Jesus' name, I ask for a bicycle. I mean, you'd almost have to go out and buy that kid a bike. I mean, you know. Because you don't want them to think Jesus doesn't care about them, right? You know. But what does it mean? You know, when you read a verse, you know, what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? What does that mean? What does that look like? And that's why I gave it to you on your outline, because I didn't want you to miss it. Our prayer, if we're praying in Jesus' name, our prayer should be Jesus' purposes and God's kingdom and not our selfish reasons. So first of all, your prayer's got to have kingdom impact in some way or another. Okay? Jesus' purposes. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times my prayers are just for my purposes. My convenience. Whatever it may be that I'm looking at, that I'm inconvenienced or I'm hurting or I'm out of it or, you know, whatever, this thing's happened to me, I wish it'd go away. It's all about me. But we need to ask ourselves, how is this going to impact the kingdom? the kingdom of God. And what is Jesus' purpose in this? Secondly, our prayer should be on the basis of Jesus' merit and not ours. You know, so many times, you know, God, I've tried to be good. You know, I've done all the, you know, I go to your church 3 times a week and I do this and that and I help people and all that. Can't you answer my prayer? It's not based on your worthiness or your merit. It's based on His. Third, our prayer should be in pursuit of God's glory through the Son. Whatever you eat, drink, whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God. Does your prayer glorify God? If He answered that prayer, is it going to bring glory to God in some way? Because that's what the verse said. I'll go back. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified. And then we will usually say, well, I'll give Him the glory. But how will He be glorified through the answer to your prayer? So that helps you maybe answer some questions about prayer. And maybe sometimes we get frustrated because we don't understand some of these principles. It's God's will. Okay? It's got to be God's will. You got to ask in faith without doubt. You got to ask in Jesus' name. But that those all have qualifiers. You know, it's not just there's the other stuff I gave you. I hope that helps you. I hope that encourages you. So God provides wisdom, God answers prayer, and God requires faith. And we touched on faith. We must ask in doubt, without doubt in faith. But God requires faith. Hebrews 11. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. You know, it's interesting. God does not try to prove His own existence. You know, everybody, you know, on earth, countries, peoples, you know, I think there's no God, you know. And then you say, well, I'm going to prove you there's God. Well, He doesn't really try to prove that He exists. I mean, what did he tell Moses? You know, God, Moses said, well, I got to tell him who you are. Just say, I am. Look, you either believe He is or you don't. In the beginning, you know, the first words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. It doesn't go into anything about how God got there or who He is or what He is or how He's going to operate. In the beginning, God. And you either take it or leave it. You either accept Him or you reject Him. He's not going to sit there and say, well, I'm this and I'm that. And, you know, He doesn't do that. You have to believe. He draws near to Him. Must believe that He exists, that there is a God. And He rewards those that seek Him. Are you seeking God? I mean, really seeking Him. Not just acknowledging Him. Because most Christians acknowledge that there's a God and there's Jesus. But are you seeking Him? Are you seeking Him? You know, in the book of Proverbs, we've been studying Proverbs on Thursday night for, I thought it was just a few months. We started looking it up. It's been like 15 months or something. Isn't that what we came up with? Juan, when that 15 months we've been in Proverbs, and we're only on like chapter 16. I mean, good grief. But, you know, in there, in the early parts of Proverbs, it says, seek wisdom and seek for it like hidden treasure. You know, if you really honestly believe there was $1 million buried in the field back here, if you really believe that, nobody be sitting here right now. You'd be down at the rental place, backhoe, right? Or a hardware store. Well, he's getting a backhoe. I'm going to get a shovel real quick. I can beat it. And I'm going to dig, 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 dig. I'm going to find it because I know it's there. Well, do you really seek God? Do you know He's there? Do you know He has wisdom? Do you know He has a plan for your life? Do you know that there's purpose for you? And are you seeking it? Or are you just satisfied right where you're at? And maybe that's why we stay where we're at, because God knows in our heart. We say with our lips we're not satisfied, but our actions say we are. Because we're not seeking. Something to think about. God requires faith. And now in verse 6, let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. The doubter is described. The doubter is described. Winds, you can just write in there, trials. Trials hit your life like wind and starts tossing us around. The surging sea. You know, trials, when they hit us, our heart, we start fighting this battle within us. And things happen, it's adversity, it could be temptation, it could be trials, it could be a situation, a circumstance, whatever it is that is like on you. We'll be encouraged one minute, you know, and we'll try to have good attitude about it and be strong, and then the next minute, oh man, you know, this ain't ever going to, you know, we get discouraged. It's never going to change. What's God doing? He's not doing anything. And then, but then maybe you hear a message like this. Okay, I've got, you know, renewed vigor. You know, I'm going to go after it again. And then nothing happens. And I'm down again. The doubters describe. Those are trials. And he says it's like the surging sea. It's like the agitation that is in your heart. You ever see a surging sea? You know, I remember living in Florida and the hurricane would come. And very early in my surfing days, I would say, man, the hurricane is coming. Those waves have got to be so big. I'm going to the beach. Okay? Get my board, turn on my car, went to the beach, and there ain't no way. And if you went out there, you'd be dead. I mean, and there was no waves. It wasn't like, you know, like when it's a normal ocean, there's a pattern to it. You know, the waves will, the swells will come, and they'll come in, and they'll break, and there's like order and pattern, and it's one after another after, and you get out there, and you can read those waves, and you can kind of tell, okay, you know, this one's going to be a good one, and then you catch it, you know, and all that. But when that sea is surging, I remember standing on the shore with my board. And like, there was no waves. It was just, the sea was just doing this. And there was no pattern. There was little, kind of what I call little waves, but it was just like they would break here, break there, break, you know, there was no order. There's no way you could do anything. And it was treacherous. It was just really ugly. And so you learned that when the hurricane's approaching is when the good waves are, because it's still way out there, but it's surging the sea, you know. But once the hurricane gets there, you just don't go there, you know. I mean, I know y'all think, hey, we went out in hurricanes all the time. It was fun. As a kid, you know, you're not concerned with property damage and stuff. You just think it's fun, and that's what we used to do. But anyway, surging sea. It's churning, it's agitated, and that's what doubt is in the heart of someone. You're just agitated. You don't know what's going to happen. It's just very unsettling. And then it says, driven and tossed. Driven and tossed. When we're getting buffeted like that, we get driven. When we have doubt, the trials, the adversity, the things that are hitting us will drive us off course. It will drive us off course. And we'll start thinking about things that God didn't intend for us to, you know, He may be trying to teach us something, take us somewhere, do something, but we're looking at it through our eyes. And you know what? You got to get your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the anchor. You don't want to be driven off course? then grab a hold of Christ, for He's the anchor. He doesn't move. We got to hold on to Him. Doubts that drive us off course when Christ should be our anchor. You just hold on to Christ and let the storm pass. It says, let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And the doubter is denied, because that verse 7 says, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Folks, I didn't write that verse. That's a verse we don't like to read. That word anything means anything. That person should not expect to receive anything. You're not going to get wisdom. You're not going to get relief. I mean, it may pass of its own. Okay? But you're not going to get the intervention that you're desiring if you're doubtful, if you don't have faith, if you're not trusting God, if you're not seeking. The doubter is denied. And lastly, the doubter is destabilized. A double-minded man, I love the King James translation on that. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Listen, the double-minded are not wrestling with doubt. That's not what this is talking about. We just talked about doubt. This is double-minded. The word means two-souled. Two, S-O-U-L, souled. Like you have two souls. It's two minds. It's like, have you ever done this? Have you ever put on a good front and something's going on in your life, someone questions you about it, and you say the right things, but in your heart, you're like, I'm not there. Oh, yeah, God's working in my life, and I'm just waiting, you know, blah, blah, blah. And inside, you're like, man, I'm dying. This is killing me. I don't know what's going to happen. But, hey, I'm the pastor. I got to act like I'm confident. Double-minded. We say the right things, but we have reservations. We look to God, because that's what we should do. We're Christians, so we look to God first. But then when God doesn't do it like that, we start looking at the world, don't we? Start looking, oh, maybe there's an answer out here. Maybe there's an answer there. Oh, I'll go, God, I'm going to go over here. And I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go to God again. It's either going to be God or it's going to be the world, folks. It's one or the other. It literally, like I said, means two-souled. One that believes and one that doesn't. You're trying to serve two masters. Jesus said you can't do that. And this mind, when you have this kind of a mind, when you're all over the place, you're unstable in all your ways. Well, what are all your ways? Well, first of all, you're unstable with God. You know, your spiritual walk is going to be all over the place. You'll be unstable at home. You'll be unstable at work. You'll be unstable in your social relationships. And you'll be unstable, you fill in the blank. Because it says it's unstable in all his ways. You ever meet somebody like that? They can't make up their mind. One day it's this, next day it's that. But God has given us provision for these trials. Wisdom is available. Prayer is available. Faith is available. You realize the only reason you have faith is because God put that faith in you? You get that? Faith is a work of God. You don't believe me? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. God gives you your faith. I guess we needed a light moment. I think back, when I accepted the Lord. I mean, when I accepted the Lord, I was 32. When I first said I accepted the Lord, I was 18. But it wasn't real, wasn't true. And then in between that time, I didn't really look for God or seek God or do anything. So what made the difference at 32 that I didn't have at 18? I mean, what was the difference? Well, somewhere along the way, God did something and gave me the faith to believe for real. Somewhere along the way. Because I was no different. Truth be known, I was probably worse. So God had to do something. And when you accepted the Lord, God had to do something in you to get you to the point where you were willing to look up. That's just the way it is. You're willing to look up and say, it's got to be you, God. All of you, none of me. It's all you. And we trust Him for our salvation, for our very eternity, we trust Him. But in the trials and stuff, we try to do it our way, don't we? Instead of trusting Him for the trial also. Hey, you entrusted your eternal soul and your eternity with Him. Why can't you trust your health or your money or your relationship or whatever, I don't know, whatever you got going? Why is that so hard? Yeah, I got 2 pages today. What can I say? The abundant Christian life is not independent of trials. You don't have abundant life and then now I got this other life that's not. No, you can have the abundant life in the midst of trials. So we're not independent of trials, but it is dependent on a growing relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. How's your relationship with God going? Is it growing? I used to think there was plateaus. Like a lot of people say, I was growing, now I just kind of plateau. No, I've really come to the place where if you're not going up, you're going down. I've come to that. I don't know if you can find that in the Bible, but that just seems to be when people plateau, they don't plateau for long. If you're not growing, you just kind of go the other way. It's just something I've observed in people and in myself. But when you're living the abundant life, you're always growing with God. Your relationship gets better. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. It's not enough to receive Him. That seals your eternity when you receive Him as Lord. But now you got to walk in Him. You want to be abundant? You want to live abundant life? You got to start walking with Him. And you got to be rooted in Him. And you got to let Him build you up. Just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Something that we're missing today. So much is a spirit of gratitude. Man, be grateful. Hey, every one of us has got stuff going on in our lives we wish wasn't there. Every single person, I guarantee you. But in the midst of that, be grateful. Look what God has done. We need to be grateful, folks. Jesus Himself, I mean, He healed, what was it, the 10 lepers? And He said, go show yourself to the priest. sentenced to death and sentenced to being outcasts the rest of their lives. And they see Jesus come, they run, they fall, and they say, "Heal us." And he goes, "Hey, go show yourselves to the priest." And the Bible says, as they went, they became whole. And you know what that means? That means like the ear that was gone is back. Because we're talking leprosy here. Body parts fall off, folks. It is ugly when you see leprosy. And so they're going to the priest and the ear comes back on. And maybe the toes are back. And two people comes back. Two people out of ten. They saw what was happening to them, and before they got to the priest, they just turned around, they ran back and fell at the feet of Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? He didn't even look at them. He says, "Wasn't there ten? Wasn't there ten?" And then he looked at them and said, "You know, bless you, go, you know, whatever. Thank you for thanking me." Kind of, I'm just sort of filling in, you know. But wasn't there ten? And that's not selfish of Jesus. That's not above his pay grade. We ought to be grateful. Look what he has done. He saved them from being an outcast and a death sentence and restored life to them, and they were reintegrated into life. And you know what? When you are lost without God, you are under a death sentence and you are an outcast. And you got no hope until you come to the Savior. And he saves you and restores you and brings you into fellowship. And you're no longer an outcast. And now you have eternal life. You're not going to die. And are we grateful? Are we part of the eight that did not return, or are we the two that did? Man, we should be grateful. It says overflowing with gratitude. Because why? We're looking beyond the circumstances at the bigger picture, what God is doing, what he has done, and what he's going to do. And we're grateful. To walk in Christ is to live a life patterned after his. A life of wisdom, prayer, and faith. I mean, you read that all the time. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, man, he was smart, wasn't he? He knew the word of God. Every time Pharisees came at him, he had an answer. Why did he have an answer? Because he knew this book. And the Bible talks about often he went off and prayed. Built his relationship with God. And he had faith. In fact, he was always telling the disciples, what? "Oh, ye a little faith." They were always like, "Oh, we're going to die. Oh, where this is going? Oh." He's like, "Ye a little faith. Ye a little faith." Sometimes I love the King James. It says he upbraided them. You know, that's kind of a weird word for us. You know what it means? Talking with your teeth clenched. Did your dad ever do that to you? Like when you did something wrong? Like, "All right, wait till I get you home." You know? That's upbraided. That's what that means. Vicky's laughing. She used to do that with her students when she was teaching. But and he'd go, "You a little faith. How long must I be with you?" You know? I wonder how frustrated God gets with us sometimes, because we just don't get it. Pattern your life after his. Wisdom, prayer, and faith, which our Heavenly Father has provided for us in the midst of our trials, in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. These things are always there. Are you tapping into it? That's really, really it. Where are you at with that? Praise God for his provision. Be grateful for his provision. It's there. It doesn't run out. You know, God doesn't run out of love. He doesn't run out of prayer. Doesn't run out of faith. And he also doesn't run out of patience. He will keep your feet to the fire as long as it takes to get the message through. He's a patient God. He'll just keep working with you, working with you, working with you. You know, another thing God has provided, and I've talked about it a few times already, but another thing he has provided is salvation through Jesus Christ. If you are wise and you pray in faith, you can enter into a relationship with the living God. There may be someone here today, you've never done that. You may have just lived the life. You may have been in church your whole life. You may have heard 1,000 messages on this. But maybe today it rams home. Maybe today God opens your eyes. Maybe today God gives you light where there was darkness. And you get it. And he's calling you right now. This is your opportunity to begin a relationship with the living God. And he can save you. And he can use you to do mighty things in the kingdom. It's just up to you. And there may be someone here today that's never done that. You've never admitted that you're a sinner. You've never asked God to forgive you. You never trusted in Jesus' substitution. He was on the cross in your place. You get that? Should have been you and me up there. It's him paying the price for our sin. He died to pay the price. He rose from the dead in victory over sin and death and sits with God, right hand of the Father, on our behalf. And it's up to us to be wise enough to have faith and then ask him in prayer to save us. Because, see, that's really the greatest tribulation of your life, is if you're not saved, nothing else matters, folks. If you don't have a relationship with God, nothing else matters. These other things you're dealing with, that ain't nothing compared to your future. That is nothing compared to your... In fact, this is heaven compared to that. Get the right perspective. And so if you have never done this, I encourage you to do so today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Why? We don't know that we have tomorrow. We do not know. For the rest of us, are you taking advantage of God's provision? He's provided it. Are you tapping in? How's your prayer life? Is it effective? How many people would say, I need to make a change? How many people would say, my faith is not what it ought to be? How many people would say, I don't ask for wisdom enough. I kind of handle it myself. Those are things we need to think about, folks. God has provided them. We need to take advantage of what God has provided. Why did he provide it if we didn't need it? He's not a wasteful God. He knows we need it. That's why it's there. I have every head bowed, every eye closed. Was there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I got to have that first provision. I've got to have salvation. I have never admitted to God that I need him, that I need Jesus, that I've been living my life my own way my whole life, and now I need to depend on you. Is there anybody like that? I've never asked for forgiveness from the living God. Anybody like that? I've never done it. As far as I know, everyone here has done that. I hope that's true. Oh, I see a hand. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I pray you'll make that decision today. I pray you'll make that as the most important decision you will ever make. Ever. Because all eternity hangs on that. Anybody else? For the rest of us, how many would say, I need to change some things in my prayer life? Anybody like that? Just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Just need to maybe approach God a little differently from now on. How's your faith? How many would say, pray for me. My faith isn't what it ought to be. I've been kind of battered around and I've kind of lost a little. Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God's provided faith. Go back to Him. Ask Him. He'll provide. Trust Him. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before You. And I ask You, Lord, in Jesus' name. I know this is a prayer that would glorify You, Lord. That people would respond to what You are doing in their life. Lord God, those that have admitted their prayer life's not where it ought to be, Lord, I pray You give them wisdom to know how to pray. Lord God, that you would show Yourself mighty and give them purpose. And maybe their circumstances are not allowing them. Maybe they're focusing on the circumstances instead of You, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord, I pray they would focus on You and build the relationship with You first. And Lord, those that said, you know, their faith has been shaken, Lord, I pray that perhaps these words today gave them strength, gave them some faith, Lord, from You, Your words, not mine, Your words, Lord, gave them faith. That they would stand a little taller and be a little stronger, Lord, and allow You to minister to them in a mighty way. And Lord God, I pray for the one who raised their hand. I pray, Lord, they would make a decision for You today. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And as Kathy plays, she may be praying, I don't know. But as Kathy plays, this time is for you. This is your decision time. What has God done in you in the last 45 minutes that He's wanting you to get into a little conversation with Him about what's going on in your life? This is the time to take advantage of it. If you want to come forward and make something right with God or have prayer, come up. This is your time. Do not delay. May not have tomorrow. Surrender to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to You. Lord, you're so good. You're so preoccupied with us, Lord. You provide all these things for us. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of what You are doing in our lives. And Lord, for the one that raised their hand for salvation, I pray that they would make a decision for You, that they would seek someone out that would show them what Your word has to say about becoming a child of God. And that they would not let this day go by without making a decision for You. Lord God, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.